You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
I hope everyone's doing all right. And this morning, Richard asked me to continue our Hebrews ministry, and I'm taking chapter 11. And everyone knows what that is, right? It's the faith chapter. And I've called this Faith Acts on Solid Facts. Tell to the person next to you, hey, faith acts on solid facts. Okay. That's the last time I'm going to have you have to interact with me, okay? So don't worry, I won't do it the whole time. Well, let me tell you a true story. There was a gentleman who was, he just inherited his family business, and he was a little bit, not sure about it, because he was raising a family, and their business wasn't doing all that great, and they were living quite frugally, okay? At the same time, the church that they were attending had a special program called Faith Promise. I don't know if some of you grew up in church, but there used to be a program called Faith Promise where someone would pledge a certain amount, and then they would believe God for that amount, even though they didn't have it in their pockets or in their bank account, and they would pledge that amount, and at a certain date, they would have to give that. Now, wow, that was like, for me, that wouldn't be a faith promise, that would be a faith challenge, you know? That's a real challenge. So what he did was he went to the Lord and asked him how much he was to give. And he really sensed that he was supposed to give this significant amount. I mean, a good size amount that he really didn't have. And there was no way, in earthly way, he could have paid it. Okay? Everyone with me? So what happened was that as he was believing God for it, the business didn't do very well. It was kind of up and down, and it was a concern at that moment. And so what happened was people in the church, I don't know how they found out, but, you know, people have a way of finding out. But they found out that he had this significant amount that he had pledged. Uh-oh. You know, everyone knew. And then the other thing was they knew that the business wasn't doing well, and they knew that it was almost nigh impossible for him to fulfill that promise. It's like, how are you going to do this? So, church people, you're all great people. You love your fellow brothers and sisters. And so they were very sympathetic toward him. They just started to sympathize and started to go up to them and say, hey, don't worry. We know that, you know, you can't afford this. We know that you don't have this amount of money. So we understand, you know, God will understand if you can't pay it. But you know, this gentleman, man of God, he stood his ground and said, no, I pledged this to the Lord, this amount, and I'm going to push through. I'm going to stay the course, and I'm going to believe God for this. You know what? The date came, and first of all, he was able to pay it, but at great difficulty. I mean, they really didn't have that amount. But you know, not long after, and this is a true story, and I know the people who went through this, true story, right after that, the business suddenly started to pick up. It prospered, it grew like never before, such that at the end, his family were so blessed and had more than they ever expected to receive, just because this man stood his ground in faith. I really believe that God wants us to walk a walk of faith and trust and believing in him. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Let's read this together. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation, or they received a good reputation. This man received a good reputation because he stood his ground in faith. Now, what is faith? Okay. Now, the New Living Translation provides a really good definition. Just straight from it, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for, and it is evidence of things we can't even see. It's evidence that this is real. This God will provide. Through their faith, the people of days of old earned a good reputation. You can define faith. Thank you, Tristan. Oh, boy, that was good. You could define faith as complete trust, complete confidence in someone or something. Other words we use are belief, reliance, dependence, optimism. Don't you love being around people who are a little bit optimistic? You know, I love that. You know, they say these days, especially for a marriage, positivity and adaptability are two key things, right? Being positive, staying positive about things, even though things are going down. I know there's that in this room right now. But the opposite is mistrust. The opposite of faith is mistrust. Now, how many of you, we're going to look at this next picture here. All of us have been here, right? And we've gone and we're checking in our luggage, checking in for the flight ahead. And the lady's there or the man's there, and you go up with your bags. And how many of you have ever done this? And ask the ticket agent, hey, who is flying the plane today? You ever ask them, who's flying the plane today? Ma'am, have they done their 200 flight hours? Have they passed all the exams, all the tests that are needed? Have they gone through all the hoops? Do they have their official commercial pilot license? Have you ever done this? Why not? No. No, we don't, do we? You know, about the only questions we ever ask them or in our minds are, boy, I hope my luggage doesn't weigh too much, you know. I wonder how much I'm going to have to pay for extra baggage, right? I don't know. There's some airlines you've ridden before that's like, you know, you have to stick it in this thing. It has to fit just right and all that. Those are about the only questions we ask. We've never asked them, you know, who's piloting this plane? Who am I trusting my life to? No, we just go on there because we have confidence that Transport Canada and that airline have done all the hard work. They've done all the checks. They went through everything. They know exactly that person is qualified, highly qualified, and even above that, they've checked all the policies and everything in order to get us safe and sound to that place, right? Isn't that true? Now, when I was looking up what the requirements were, I have to add this, I don't know, but did you realize, and I'm going to get you a little scared here, that you just have to be at least 18 years old to pilot a plane? I didn't know that. But that 18-year-old is well qualified. I would trust myself because he's gone through all the hoops and all of that, okay? So that's what faith is. Faith is based and acts on solid facts. Faith acts on solid facts. You know, faith's not something that you try to work up in yourself or it's a feeling, but it's based on two things, God's word and his character. God's word and his character. What God says, I can rely on. And who God is, I can rely on. As followers of Jesus, we're called to live a life of faith, to walk a life of faith on this earth. We're trusting in what Jesus has already done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do in our lives. And that's what faith is all based on. It's based on the word of God and his character. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, Paul writes, "So, we are always of good courage." How many of you always want to be in good courage? I do. I want to be in a place that I'm not always afraid and worried. And it says, "For the reason why we can be in good courage is that we walk by faith and not by sight." Okay, I know Filipinos here say, no, it's not fate. You're not walking by fate. You're walking by faith. You're walking by faith. Faith acts on solid facts. And so here's some very solid facts, okay? You ready for the facts? Okay, fact number one. God is pleased with those who seek Him sincerely. God is pleased with those who seek Him sincerely. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Seek Him. Not only seek Him, but there's other translations that kind of qualify it a little more. Three more ways. We seek Him in the New Living. It says we seek Him sincerely. We seek Him sincerely. And that is described as being free from pretense or deceit. That means I'm not faking it. I'm not faking my seeking, you know. You know, I'm not just raising my hands and just doing all the motions, but I sincerely, my heart, am seeking God. In the New International Version, it says that we seek earnestly. And what is that word? Earnestness results from or shows sincere and intense conviction. I really, really, really believe this. This is something I really, really stake my life on. It's wholehearted. It's not just half. And then the King James Version says, we diligently seek. We diligently seek Him. It's having or showing care and conscientiousness in our work or duties. That means just we give it all. We give all in our seeking Him. It's all our heart. Ask yourself, is my whole heart seeking God? Or do other things tend to get prioritized ahead of Him? Is my walk just walk? I have to ask myself that sometimes. Sometimes I get so busy. And someone said, the man has a great propensity to forget God. We have a great propensity to walk through life and go on, and we forget all about that one who loves us, who created us, who wants us to succeed. So we all need to learn to seek God sincerely, earnestly, and diligently. There was a guy named David Brainerd. He was a missionary to the Delaware, the First Nations indigenous people in the United States. And when he was, he actually only lived till he was 29. He was a missionary to them. Only lived till he was 29. He died of tuberculosis. But in his short life, he spoke of one who sought, he was one who sought God sincerely, earnestly, and diligently. It said that the pursuit of God was absolutely first in David Brainerd's life. You know, he even said in 1747, he was probably on his deathbed, he said, oh, how I long to fulfill the remaining moments all for God. Don't you want to be able to say that even now? Oh, I long to fulfill the remaining moments of my life all for God. And that he was a true seeker of the Lord. He spent whole days in prayer. Sometimes he would pray six times in a day. He would get others around him. They would pray together. He spent significant time in God's word, often using prayer and fasting while he was seeking God's word. Someone wrote, he was like a man who found gold in the Bible, but he felt he needed to dig longer and deeper because there would be more and richer treasures. Isn't that beautiful? Yet he felt like he wasn't getting enough from God's word. He would dig deeper and go deeper and more solid so he could get more riches and more treasure from the word of God. It said of that David Brainerd had mighty results in all his ministry. And at the end of his life, someone wrote that his life challenged more people into Christian service than perhaps any other man that ever lived. This man sought God earnestly, sincerely, diligently. And that's fact number one. I just want to tip my hat off, though, to those who went on a retreat. How many of you went on a retreat this last, yeah, raise your hands up high. Thank you. Thank you for going. You know, these are people who, to me, really show a sense of diligence in their earnest, sincere, and diligent seeking after the Lord. They took the time. They could have been doing other things in life. They could have done other pleasures and spent their money, their time on other things, but they spent time to seek God. But, of course, I tip my hats to you guys, but I tip my hat to this whole crowd because it's not just a one-time event. It's just not a one-time thing, seeking God. It's a lifestyle. Seeking God is a lifestyle. Earnestly seeking Him, diligently seeking Him, sincerely seeking Him. So that fact number one, God is pleased with those who seek Him sincerely. Fact number two, God approves of those who follow Him no matter what the circumstances. Now that's a hard one. That's a hard one. God approves of those who follow Him no matter what the circumstances. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, the writer of Hebrews starts talking about all these people of faith. And it was all by faith they did this. By faith. And I'm going to go through from verse 4. By faith Abel. By faith Enoch. By faith Noah. By faith Abraham. By faith Sarah. And then he stops in verse 13 and says, all these people, they actually died. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They died even if they never saw the end. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. Now keep that in mind. Okay, keep that in mind. They kept believing. They kept walking in faith. They kept trusting in God, that God would make the way, even though they did not receive the reward. Can you imagine that? They kept moving forward, even though they did not receive the blessing. Okay, if you follow with me in chapter 11, verse 17, it says, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses, by faith the Israelites, by faith Rahab, by faith, so many and so much that the author actually goes, stop. And he writes in verse 32, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, listen to all these things, they conquered kingdoms. They enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women even received back their dead by resurrection. Wow! Powerful faith, hero-type stories of faith. Beautiful. But then, it's interesting, suddenly the author heads in another direction. After all these positive faith stories, in verse 35b, now he doesn't even put it in the front, or, you know, he puts it kind of in the middle, kind of middle-ish, 35b, okay? That's where he places this. Then he says this, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. You know, it's interesting, not even today there's people, our brothers and sisters in the restricted access nations who are living this way. I have brothers and sisters that I know have lived through things like this. And then, what's interesting, whew, you know, that was a lot, wasn't it? But what's interesting is he says the same even for these people. That all of these, the ones with the faith stories and the ones that had really tough times, all walking in faith, but all of these, even though they were commended, even though they received great reputations because of how they walked in faith, did not receive what was promised. Seems unfair, isn't it? They still didn't receive what was promised. So, you're wondering, so did they turn their backs on God because of this? And did they decide, oh, this isn't worth it, it's too hard. This is just too hard. Did they doubt that God would come through? And the answer was a resounding no. Thank you, Aaron. No. No. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, it speaks of this. They could say with the author of Hebrews, and I want you to hear this very clearly, and this is what we long to be more and more. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are of those who have faith and preserve their souls. I want to read that one more time. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. So let me bring this home a bit. At least this fact. I didn't know it was so dry here. If you aren't getting what you are believing for, okay, get this. If you are not getting what you are believing for, it doesn't mean that your faith is lacking. Please remember that. It doesn't mean your faith is lacking, and it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Okay? Some of you may have been praying for healing, and the healing hasn't come. Let me just say this, because that's the last fact we're going to look at. He has something better ahead for us. He has something better ahead for you. If it's not coming through and you feel like, oh, my faith's lacking. Oh, I'm trusting the Lord, but he's got something so much better up ahead for you, for us. So remember that. God approves of those who follow him no matter what the circumstance. God approves of those who follow him no matter what the circumstance. Okay, let's go to the last one, the last fact. I'm an old three-point guy, so sorry about this. Bad habit. But I'm going to give you the last fact. Fact number three. God always has something better ahead. Isn't that great news? God always has something better ahead. Look at the person next to you and pray for them right now, real quick. Pray that they'll believe right now that God has something better up ahead. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray into their life right now. God has something better for you up ahead. No matter what's happening right now, God always has something better ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. As you seek God, you will learn that you can trust his character, okay? Thank you so much, really. You can trust his character, and that he always has your best interests in mind. You know, God always has your best interests in mind. He's a loving, loving dad. He's a loving father. God always has your best interests in mind. You never, ever have to doubt that. Just right now, in this moment, I pray that you will never doubt that God has His best, your best interests in mind right now. God has the best for you up ahead. And he wants that for you. And he's working to will and to do of his good pleasure in your life right now. Because he loves you so much. Jeremiah 29:11, we all know the scripture, "For I know the plans I have for you." Yeah, some of you are nodding your head. You know this scripture. But I'm going to just say it out loud. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope." Some of you have been hopeless. Some of you have felt like, "I have no future." Well, God says the opposite right here. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare." God runs a welfare state, and it's the best welfare state, right? It's a better welfare state than any welfare state. "And not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 as we start landing this plane. "By faith, Abraham," and verse 8, "by faith, Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going." God called him, and he didn't even know. He didn't have GPS. You know, he didn't know. You know, our GPS isn't working. It's like, how do you feel, you know, when your GPS isn't working? You know, it's like, you know, that's the worst day of my life, you know. I'm going to be late. I'm not going to get there. God called Abraham to this place, to a promised place, the best place that Abraham was supposed to be. And he didn't have the GPS. He didn't know where he was going. And it says here, he went out not knowing where he's going. And not only that, when he got there, you know what he was living in? You ever been next to the train station here in town? I live in Kitchener, sorry. Right next to the train station, there's a bunch of tents. It's a tent city. Abram ended up in a tent city. He lived in tents. He left his beautiful suburban house in Ur of the Chaldees. You know, it's probably had a swimming pool in the back, you know, a jacuzzi on the side, you know, a beautiful developed basement. He had probably had a rec room and everything. Man, he left. Abram left his beautiful house in the suburbs and had to go to this place that he didn't know about. And he had to live in a tent, it says here. Verse 10, here's the clincher. "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Whatever God's got up ahead for you, he's designed it. He's built it. He's put it together. He's got an amazing blueprint and a plan for your life. It's wonderful. It's amazing. And, you know, it says, even says in verse 15, they had the opportunity to return home. No, this is not for us. I'm going to head home. This is too hard. This is too much. You know, I'm used to my air conditioning and my central heating, and I need to go home, you know. But as it is, Abram and his family desired a better country. That is a heavenly one. "Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared them for a city." In the verse 40, it says, God provided something better up ahead. God always provides something better up ahead. I hope, if anything, before you leave, you remember that. Faith always looks ahead, and it always looks for God's best. Faith always looks ahead and always looks for God's best. Even Jesus, in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, he said that we needed to look ahead. Let me read this scripture real quick. Verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Don't be troubled. Don't worry. "Believe in God. Believe also in me." Believe in Jesus. Let's just close our... I want to read this, but why don't you close your eyes and just imagine this. Jesus is saying this to you. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. Bringing this home to our church here, Every Nation GTA, we want to grow. We want to see this place grow, and we're looking ahead for more of U of T students and others who are seeking God to join us and find love and peace that God brings through this community. You know what? Every Nation GTA, God has greater things up ahead for us. Amen? God has greater things up ahead for us, and He's calling each one of us to act on this solid fact. So as we go and meet and relate and share His life and love with others and make disciples among those who respond, then He will bring the growth that we desire. Don't forget this, that God always has something better up ahead. So let's land this plane. Faith acts on solid facts. Amen? And faith is not something you try to work up in yourself. It's not just a feeling. It's based on the Bible and the character of God. And it's based on the three facts that we saw this morning. That number one, God is pleased with those who seek Him sincerely. God is pleased with those who seek Him sincerely. Fact number two, God approves of those who follow Him no matter what the circumstances. And number three, God always has something better up ahead. As we land this plane, you can clear your ears and, you know, start to release your seatbelts, but we want to apply this. I have three questions here. Just ask yourself these three. Number one, am I seeking God sincerely, earnestly, and diligently? Number two, do I complain when things don't go the way I want them to go and then give up? Number three, am I trusting that God is working on something better up ahead? I want you just to close your eyes real quick. I want to pray a prayer this morning for each of these areas of life. I want to pray for those who know that, you know, I've only half-heartedly done this thing, and I really don't know if I'm sincere about this. I'm not really earnest, and I haven't been very diligent, and I want to be. I want to be. I want to seek God earnestly and diligently and sincerely. Would you pray for me? And then I want to pray for those who feel like they tend to have a complaining spirit. I know I've had those at times when a complaining spirit would come over me and I'd just whine and complain about everything. Do I complain when things don't go my way and give up? I'm going to pray for those who feel like they need a release from a complaining spirit, and they need to be able to trust God and not give up. And finally, I want to pray for those who really know they lack trust right now. They really don't believe and don't know that God is working to will and to do of His good pleasure in their life. You know that you feel like, I don't know if I can trust this God, that He has something better up ahead for me. Please pray for this. As you close your eyes, I want you to raise your hand if any of these things strike you. I'm just going to pray a prayer generally for each one of you. If you feel that there's any of these things that you're really working in your own heart, that you know, God, I need a touch from You this morning. I need Your hand in the area of trust. I need Your hand in the area of seeking You. I need Your hand in with my complaining and not giving up. Just raise your hand real high, and we're going to join in faith. You don't have to look around. Let's not look around. I just want to pray for you. Just put your hand up. I'm going to pray for you this morning. God will work in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. So, Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who have been very humble and willing to admit to you and to themselves and to this body, God, that they need more of you. They need to act on solid facts, that you are pleased as they seek you earnestly, that you approve even though the circumstances are not ideal, that you always have something better up ahead. I pray right now in Jesus' name, God, that you would help them to seek you earnestly, seek you diligently, seek you fervently and sincerely, God. Give them the grace. Give them the understanding how to do that. Give them the practical ways. I pray for those, Father God, who have got to know they have a complaining spirit, tend to complain and whine and give up and not trust in you for everything. God, help them today, Lord. Help them today. I release them. We release them from a complaining spirit in Jesus' name. And Father, finally, for those who really don't have that sense that you've got something better up ahead, I pray for a spirit of faith and trust and belief to rise up in them. And I pray against the lack of trust and that unbelieving spirit that has so captivated them in Jesus' name. Thank you for your freedom this morning. Thank you that we can walk in faith and leave this place, Lord, knowing that we are walking according to solid facts. That you love us, you care for us, you have our best in mind. That even though the things don't look great, Father God, you have the best for us up ahead. And we give you the thanks and all the glory. And God's people said together, amen. Amen. God bless you.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.